In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
We are reading now the Gospel of St. John during all of the Paschalia, all of the Pentecostarian. And it is very important to read it now, because in the light of the resurrection, St. John's Gospel is most understood. It is the deepest and the most profound of all of the Gospels, and has many truths in it about eternal life. Here is one right at the beginning of the reading. No one hath seen God at any time, so says the prophet. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, that one declared him. Well, it's true, no one hath seen God at any time. Moses had only seen the back parts of God, and that was, of course, the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. But now we can see God. We have Him in an icon. We have icons of our Lord Jesus Christ because He became man. And because He became man, we can see Him now. We can be with God because Jesus Christ became man. So there, in these two sentences, in a sort of a dark way, not completely spelled out, the most important truths are not completely spelled out, because people are not going to believe them if they're not of the right state of mind anyway. Just like the Lord in the parable had Abraham saying, they're not going to believe anyway, when the man said, you know, come back and show to my brothers. Nah. The most important truths are not spelled out to the letter, but they are. There's always a little bit of mystery to the way the expression is made. Even such things as the Eucharist. The Lord said, I am the bread of heaven, right? There was the bread, the manna, that came down from heaven, and He said, I am the bread of heaven. And He said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. But then later on He says, do this as a memorial of me. So there's a little bit of ambiguity if you only read the text. But if you know how Christians worship from the beginning, there is no ambiguity. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no ambiguity. All of the Scripture is like this. And so this is the same. The only begotten One who is in the bosom of the Father hath declared Him, the One who cannot be seen. Saying that by the incarnation we can be with God, we can see God, we can be in His uncreated light. This is a declaration of the effect of the incarnation, but not in so many words. Now John was baptizing, and it was a baptism of repentance. And that is, people would go into the Jordan, and they would be baptized, they would be dunked into the water, and then they would stand up, and then they would confess their sins out loud to everyone. And as a baptism of repentance, it could conceivably be repeated, and it wasn't sacramental, it was a public declaration of a desire to change. And he was really causing an uproar, because the powers that be, and it's the same way to this day, they didn't really want real heartfelt feeling about God. They just wanted rules to be followed, especially the rules that had them in the highest places and with the highest honors. So they didn't like what John was doing. So they wanted to find out more about him and sent some of their servants, so some of their lackeys, to find out what was going on with John. And he said something very important. He quoted the prophet Isaiah. He said, I am the voice in the wilderness, crying out, make straight the way of the Lord. What does that mean? To make His path straight is to become righteous. Even to this day, we have the idea that a crook is a criminal, right? He's crooked. Crookedness is ungodliness. So, to make His path straight means you and me have to struggle for righteousness. So right here, very clearly, for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see, is that being a Christian means struggling for righteousness. None of this stuff about, well, you know, I believe in God and therefore I must be saved and I can't lose my salvation and it's all about faith. You try and you tell your wife it's all about that you say you love her when you don't bring home the paycheck and when you have a mistress on the side. But you say you love your wife. Loving your wife means being true to her, protecting her, helping her with all things. In the same way, Christianity is making our path straight. Now, not on our own abilities. Everybody knows that's not possible. But you have to make that effort. So if you read John's Gospel carefully, it is very moral. Because all of Christianity is morality. If we love our Lord, we would want to follow Him. If we say we have a Father in heaven, despite the fact that we have nothing in common with Him at all, He had to become such that He had something in common with us, right? By God becoming man, so that He would become like us, so that we could become like Him. Otherwise, it's not possible. If we say we have a Father in heaven, it's certainly by grace and not by anything we've done. Anybody knows that. But we would want to be like Him. To say we have a Father means we're going to act like Him. We're going to make our path straight. We're not going to hold on to our passions, to our grumbling and to our jealousy and to our lust and to our laziness and to our backbiting and our gossip and all the rest. Especially those secret sins. Or sometimes they're not as secret as we think they are. But for the most part, our sins that are in our hearts, that we don't express outwardly, but they mold our behavior. How many times has it been said to you, I'll bet you it has, somebody, you say, I don't like that person. And your friend says, you know, you're just like that person. It's happened to every single one of us, right? Why is that? Because we see things in that person that are like us, but we're blind to our sins. But we're not blind to our sins being expressed in other people. So our secret sins are manifesting themselves openly. The Christian life is to make our paths straight. John goes on to say in this reading, this is just the beginning of the Gospel of St. John. And just the first chapter is everything about salvation. It's truly amazing, the first chapter of John. And it gets better after that. John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but there standeth one in your midst, whom you know not. Of course, Jesus Christ was approximately the same age as John, 6 months younger, right? And so, Christ was about to begin His public ministry. And John says about Him, He it is the one who cometh after me, who hath come to be before me. Such beautiful poetic language, a way of saying that God is eternal. Jesus Christ always was. He always was in the bosom of the Father. He's a son by nature. We're sons by adoption and by grace. And He became the Son of Man, born of a woman, so that we could become sons of God. Later on, Jesus will speak about how you need to be born of water and the Spirit to Nicodemus. John's baptism was only of repentance. To be born of water and the Spirit is to be baptized and to have the Holy Spirit be given. Some people think being born of water and the Spirit means being born of a woman, right? I mean, there's water involved. There's a lot of bloody water involved, right? And then of the Spirit is the baptism, when actually being born of water and the Spirit is the baptism. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit being given to us. Both are necessary for us to work out our salvation. Make sure you read the Gospel of John during this Pentecostarian period. Read it with expectation. Read it with desire. And the Lord will enlighten you in some way. A lot of it's going to be really hard to understand. But if you read it again and again, especially when you hear it in the church, it comes alive in your heart. Because after all, it is the Word of God. It is alive. It's just when we don't hear it that we're the ones that are acting like we're dead. The Word of God is always alive. So may God help us to make our path straight. And in the light of this Paschal season, may God enlighten us as we read the Gospel of John. Amen.